Y'all thought this was Dragnet, didn't you? Wrong ass again. This song is for all the motherfucking chicken head bitches. And we kept the motherfucking names the same, cause we think being a bald head bitch is a goddamn shame. What the fuck is going on in this goddamn world? What are you, bitch? A boy or a girl? I can't tell cause your shit on the sides are gone. You remind me of that monkey looking bitch Grace Jones. Fucked up is how you look to Willie D. I just gotta have a bitch that has more hair than me. Some try to cover up by weaving it through. You ain't fooling nobody, we know you're bald-headed too. Bald-head ho.
What you see, D?
I see some bald-head ho. Bald-head ho.
What you see, D?
I see some bald-head ho. That should be a crime against bald-head hoes. Why they wanna be bald? Nobody knows. Being bald makes a gal look like a beast. Stupid ass hoes, ain't you heard of grease? Hell no, cause if you did, you'd have some up there. Like your pussy, you gotta give it proper care. Every time I look around, I see a damn disgrace. Motherfucking wig pieces all over the place. It's from them
bald head hoes.
They're just so damn mean. The meanest assholes I'd ever seen. Ain't got no half, so they act crude and wanna go and pick a fight with the girls who do. Am I right?
You right.
Hell yeah, I'm right. I've seen this shit night after night. Instead of wearing other people, how you dumbass bitch, you need to buy some dog mane and grow your own damn shit. Ball hit ho.
Alright, if I don't stop that now, we're gonna listen to the whole song. Alright, facts 33.
33. You know, my favorite line, you didn't even get to my favorite line in that
remind
song.
Remind me of that monkey looking bitch, Grace Jones?
No. I'm proposing a bill on Capitol Hill to kill all bald-headed bitches at will. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great song. That we'll get right to it then. That was Bald-Headed Ho, was written and recorded by Willie D of the Ghetto Boys. That was his debut solo album, 1989's Controversy. It was also included on the hip-hop mix CD that Mike gave me. Thank you for introducing me to Bald-Headed Ho.
Yeah, that album, Controversy, also has a song called Fuck the KKK.
Yeah, and Welfare Bitches is one on there too,
I think. Yeah. It's a really good album.
It's a good album. Check that out. A Willie D solo record from the Ghetto Boys.
It's actually really expensive, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's out of print and everything.
I'm sure I could steal it for free.
Good luck. It's one of them ones that are like $100 on Amazon. Mm. Shit like that. If you could get a hold of a people for like $20, consider yourself blessed.
There's going to be a phone call later. I don't know what or who we're calling.
Yeah.
So if there's an audio problem, that's Mike's fault. I should be able to take care of it using my audio expertise. But if you hear like a buzzing or a...
Well, the audio problem's not right now, right? It'll just be during the phone call?
It should be throughout the show, yeah.
And throughout the whole show?
Well, hold on. I should be able to fix it. But I don't know. I never know what's going to happen. So there's that. Also, we're recording in my... what would you call this? A breakfast nook?
Yeah.
Okay. In my breakfast nook, because my pregnant cat, Sweet Pea, if you've been listening to the show last
That's
couple weeks...
That's her name?
Her name is Sweet Pea.
That's nice.
You would know, I brought in a stray cat, which of course was pregnant, and they are coming. Not right away. I don't think it's going to be during the show.
Oh,
but
God.
What they're good.
The fuck? These they're good. Smell like feet.
They're good, man. They're you brought them. Well, I'm talking to... The cat is upstairs, and the thing with her right now is she's not in maybe the early stages of labor, I don't know, but she just won't shut the fuck up. It's meow, meow. Unless you're in the bathroom with her, she won't, and we can't let her out of the bathroom because there's a box with towels in it we want her to have the babies in. If we let her out, she's going to run under a dresser or behind a couch or something, and we don't want that, so... That's we're recording down here. I don't know why the mic keeps going limp on your mic.
It's all right.
Don't know
that's
what
she
about.
Said. I don't know why.
Buzzer is louder today. I like that.
You know.
So talk about the food you brought us, Mike.
Okay, first of all, we got buffalo blue cheese combos.
Damn right.
And they taste like feet.
No, they're good, man.
No, they taste good. I mean, they smell like feet. I'm sorry. And we got Dunkin' Donuts. We got three different flavors. Or donut, a mint.
The mint chocolate chip thing was good.
Yeah, mint chocolate chip cream. Mm-hmm. Those are new, seasonal. There's two of those. Those are like cream sticks. But she said they're, you know, donut because cream sticks are more money.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
And two chocolate cream donuts. And we're drinking Bahama Blueberry Mystic drink. And
it's pretty good, too.
Eric says good, and I believe him.
And Buffalo Cheese Combos, like Mike said.
Oh, I wish I would have bought more of that drink. That's really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So if you need me to donut you, Mike, we'll hand you a donut. Just say, you know, donut me, Mike, or DM me.
DM me.
That'll work.
Okay. Can I tell you something?
Yeah, go right ahead.
What's going on with you that's different? Why are you so happy lately?
Do I seem happy?
Yeah. You seem in a great mood. Happy. You got rid of the... It seems like whenever you got rid of the beard... You know, you're a different
Well, I'm growing
guy.
The beard back, Mike. It's a good look for me.
See, you're already giving me a dirty look.
Well, I feel the same. I don't know what you're talking... Maybe, you'll, I no, feel... Maybe I'm happier because you haven't pissed me off yet.
Oh.
What you done on the show and then I feel fucking happy.
I didn't realize, like, how much I affect your life. And how my actions really affect your mood.
We got several emails this week. Four, as a matter of fact, which is our most in a long time. I don't know if you tell people you give them free stickers as part of
just
the
just that one time.
But we got
four responses.
Four, and they're all good.
Really?
Yeah, they're all good. No one included information as to how to get them a sticker.
By Eric.
No one left like information on how to mail them a sticker or whatever. But
okay.
So I don't know if you want to work it out with Mike. Get a hold of Mike or some shit. I think you all know Mike on Facebook.
Right, because I sent out a bunch of stickers to, anyways, I just couldn't hold it
just
in.
Just to people?
Yeah, I wanted to share.
Okay. Did you mail a sticker to Australia? Because our first email is
from, no, I don't have any shipping information. If Jessica Polanco wants to get a hold, you know.
This got to be expensive to mail something to Australia, you would think.
I know, but I'll do it.
All right.
I wonder how I'd have to ship that.
Probably with the U.S. Postal Service.
I don't know if they ship internationally.
You work there. But they can hook you up with someone who will.
They have a deal with somebody. I mean, they'll do it, but they work with other people.
They meet in a boat halfway, and they put all the mail on the Australian boat.
And then they're just going to shoot it over.
Something like that, yeah.
In a pod. I'm going to study that. That's okay. One thing I need to study, how we ship international.
Okay, well, maybe for next week you can bring that up, because I'm sure what
Some
we just
said. Some asshole said, oh, that's a FedEx thing. Right. And I said, shut up.
Yeah, don't be a cunt.
I'm like, you know, I'm cool. Dude, I'm cool with UPS. I made some friends on the road. As for the girl...
On the road, meaning the streets in Warren, Ohio that you deliver the mail at.
Yeah, Howland, lately.
All right.
And I have a business route I've been doing. And me and this guy, Bill...
How'd you get a business route already? Just started.
Howland is nothing but mounted.
My dad did like 10 years in the ghetto before he got his route.
Well, look, this is because I'm filling in.
All right.
And the Howland part, it's all mounted. And, like... The business is kind of harder.
Mounted means you don't have to get out and walk, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except for the business parts, you do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think that's kind of why I was doing that. I don't know. And it's kind of hard to case in the morning. It's a long story, but, you know, I've been doing that. And I met Bill, the UPS guy, and we were kind of racing each other back and forth.
Yeah, did he beat you?
He's been doing it for
years. Okay, there we go. Well, there's an excuse then, isn't it?
You know, all he has to do is drop off a package, then go five buildings down. I'm doing every place, every place, every place. Just goes to show you, you know.
If you want something done quickly.
Something really funny happened. Take UPS. No. Because I was like, you know, I like to move fast.
Yeah.
And I was like kind of running. I wouldn't say running, but walking fast. This one older guy said, hey, slow down. He said, you're acting like a hillbilly. He goes, acting, you don't need to run around like a hillbilly. What do you think you are, a UPS guy? And I thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
Fact submission, this is entitled. Fact submission, smiley face, actually, from Jess Polanco of Australia. Hey, guys. Nice to hear you reunited.
Yeah.
Nice to hear you reunited. I've tracked my vow of Mike being my nemesis because your grilled cheese facts led to Eric talking about egg down his sleeve, which I laughed my head off to. It wasn't funny. Okay, they shouldn't. It's very hot. It rolled in my, I had to clean my entire sleeve. Ooh. During when I wanted to eat, I was hungry. So, but I'm glad you thought that was funny.
It's kind of funny.
Anyway, Here have some facts about Australia. I wanted to do weird ones for you. Just read whichever ones you like. I'm going to read them all. It's 10 Australia facts. Love from Jessica, the number one Australian listener. Smiley face.
Yeah,
she likes the smiley. Facts about Australia. The dingo fence in Australia is the longest fence in the world, twice the length of the Great Wall of China.
Wow.
I guess that keeps dingoes out.
I was just going to ask.
I didn't really look into it.
Holy crap.
I would assume it keeps dingoes out. Just like the Wall of China kept out Mongolians.
Mm-hmm.
The Australian Alps receive more snow than Switzerland. The Swiss Alps, I guess, or all of Switzerland. That's unclear. Australia is the only continent in the world without a volcano. That's interesting. That means there's a volcano in Antarctica. A cultural festival. This is true, I've been, she says in all caps. She's been to this cultural festival in Melbourne, named after local Aboriginal team Moomba, literally means up your bum. Fact number five. It was estimated in 2007 that 25% of Australians have a convict ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
Australia to begin as a penal colony.
I figured almost 100%.
Ooh. Well, there's been other immigrations.
They're kind of known as the trash of Britain in a way.
Well, yeah, I mean, they did send their prisoners there. So that's accurate. 300 female convicts mass.
I never said that, by the way, for the record.
You just said
when
it now.
When I was a kid, Mark Moran.
Oh, don't.
Said
don't blame this on him.
Australia's the trash of Britain, so if Palenka wants to take it up with him, go ahead.
All right, good dudes. You're just instigating.
I think, I like Australians.
300 female convicts mass mooned, flashed their asses in parentheses. I know what mooning is. Mass mooned the governor of Tasmania in 1832.
Mmm.
European settlers in Australia drank more alcohol per head of population than any other community in the history of mankind. Then in parentheses, LOL, we definitely can drink. I guess the parentheses are what she adds to the...
I didn't know. I thought Irish are the most hardcore, but maybe Australians aren't, and they don't get the credit, because Irish brag about it.
Yeah.
And when you're so badass, you don't need to brag. So maybe Australian are more badass, but they just don't brag like Irish do. Irish are like, we could drink so much. It's like, shut up, so can Germans.
But did you ever an Australian beer, though? Don't say Foster's, because that's Canadian.
Really?
Yeah. So then, where do they? I mean, they got to make beer in Australia, but you never hear
today,
about it.
Today, you want to hear a fun fact? I studied. This is not even a part of my fact. I just did it on my own. Truth, I really did.
Yeah, okay.
Australian and Canada relations.
Yeah.
Australia has such a high approval rate. Only they got only a 7% negative response from Canadians.
About what?
Their country, how much they like them.
This is just like a poll of, they mm-hmm. called people and said, how much you like Australia?
I guess,
who
yeah.
did the poll?
No, I read it online.
Okay.
About Australia-Canadian relations. So I guess they really, really like each other.
Well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
And right here, I would like to offer them both statesmanship within the United States. If you'd like to become a part of us.
Mike does not have the authority.
I would like to extend an olive branch to Australia and Canada.
Does not have the authority to offer an Australian or Canadian citizen.
Imagine if they did join with us. How powerful we could become. If all of us and you join the United States, we could take over the world.
Mike does not, I will say this again, Mike does not have the authority to offer anyone U.S. citizenship.
Why?
So, but why don't you have the authority?
I'm an American citizen.
That's not how it works. They have to take a test.
I could talk to Obama.
Naturalization process. You don't know Obama.
But if he hears this...
He won't hear it. Why would Barack Obama be listening to facts?
If somebody from Australia gets hold of their representative...
Okay, that's not...
And said, this is never America wants to become a part of us. Can we become part of them? And he'll say, if America wants to, Obama will get hold of me and said, hey, you offered a treaty like this? I would... And yeah. And then we all make it... We can make it happen. Why not? Big things start off from small things.
Emus and kangaroos. Now, she used the possessive when she meant plural, but I'm going to let that slide. I'm not even going to mention it. Emus and kangaroos are rarely seen walking backwards. I don't know if a kangaroo can back up, because it hops. I've seen bunnies kind of scoot backwards, some.
Yeah.
This is an odd fraction. 17/26 of the world's most venomous snakes are found in Australia. She must mean 17 out of 26. Oh, this is crazy. 750,000 wild camels roam Australia's desert, one of the largest herds in the world. Wild camels. And I didn't know they were camels.
I didn't even know they had camels.
It's fascinating. Thank you, Jess Palenko.
Australia, man, do they have tigers over there?
No, they don't have tigers.
How do you know?
I know where tigers are.
Asia and Africa.
Yeah, there's no tigers in Australia.
How do we know?
We would know. They're not hiding.
Did you know camels were over there?
I didn't know that. No, but I did.
There you go. And they have one of the largest herds, and we didn't know that.
There's no tigers in Australia. I know that. I know there's no tigers.
Jessica?
I've seen maps of the worldwide distribution of tigers.
If you can, I'm requesting a fact. Are there tigers over there that don't live in zoos, like wild, or do you have any large cats
He obviously doesn't mean like
And do you have any kind of wild cat, like maybe a pumas or mountain lions? And do you have, could you give us a fact on the Tasmanian devil or Tasmanian tiger that got killed off?
Well, the Tasmanian tiger
that went extinct.
Yeah.
Is that the one that went extinct?
The Tasmanian tiger is extinct, yeah. There's still Tasmanian devils.
Can you please give us fact on the extinct one? Thank you.
If you want to, you don't feel obligated.
Well,
speaking of international fans, this next email is from Martin Edmondson. A cheese fact, it's entitled.
Yay. You know what? Martin is class. Another class act.
Yeah, we have classy fans for the most part.
The guy went from disrespecting me to really becoming a real good, dear friend. Very, very good friend.
He's a dear friend?
Yeah. Do you want a plate for that or something?
I have plates. It's my home.
I can get you one.
All right, could you go up and give me a plate? Yeah, it's the... You can just get them out of the dishwasher, actually.
Okay.
I just did the dishes. Another great facts episode. All the talk of cheese reminded me of human cheese. Scientists created cheeses from... It's very loud.
Whoops.
Yeah. A little plate, Mike.
Well, what do you mean?
A little plate. Don't use a whole big plate. It's for one donut. There's little plates in between this big plate.
You have more than one donut?
I've already had... This is my third donut. The rest are yours.
If you're going to have more than one, you should have a bigger plate.
One at a time. I'm not going to eat five donuts at once. Okay. This is my last donut.
You could if you wanted to.
You can have the... You brought the donuts. Eat them.
Okay.
All the talk of cheese reminded me of human cheese. Scientists created cheeses from human toe, armpit, belly button, and mouth bacteria. The cheeses yield smell and taste of the body odor of the donor. It's not actually for human consumption, thank God.
What? That was the grossest, funniest thing I've ever heard.
The biologist/artist Christina Agapakis says it's cheese for thinking. These are cheese made from women's breast milk that are meant for human consumption, and I'm sure that shit is delicious.
They do that shit on TV. Mm. I saw a special.
I've never drank breast milk, but who doesn't love sucking a titty now and then? Hey. I think we all love sucking a titty now.
By the way, breast milk tastes sweet.
Does it? I've never had it.
Guys at work have told me.
I think we've discussed this before, but when Dave's girlfriend was pregnant nonstop for 3 years...
He had to have drank it.
He had titty milk just lying around. He never offered me a sip, but I thought that was...
Did he drink it? I know he did.
You know Dave drank that shit.
Oh, he just smiled and... I mean, here's the thing.
It's probably why he kept knocking her up.
I drink it, like, straight from the breast... But I wouldn't want to drink it after it sits.
Put it in the fridge or something.
Even then, I'm not doing it.
I'd rather have it from the tap, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm putting my lips around that boob and drinking it. However, if it's... And I'm not trying to be, you know, crude or gross, but if it's sitting around in something, you know... You want to hear something really fucked up?
What's fucked
truth?
Up?
Yeah. This kid, I'm not going to say his name. But
Mark Moran.
No, because I can't. No, it's from my neighborhood, and
we could be going to find you and kick
his mom. No, me and my buddy Jeff went to it was the grossest thing. Jeff didn't get to see it, I don't think, but I told him about it. Another guy saw it. He had his mom had like a freaking mason jar, and it was sealed in the back of his fridge, and it had wax paper. Like, hanging out the top, and the lid was closed, right? So it was sealed.
Okay.
And I go, ew, what's in that? Because it was layered, like, at the bottom brown, middle layer red, orange, you know, and it progressively got lighter all the way up to the top, where it was, like, clear see-through. It was so weird, dude. It was, like, all these layered of thicker liquids. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like... Oh, that's a jar of breast milk from when I was a child. My mom saved it. And we were like 12 at the time.
Okay. That's weird.
12-year-old breast milk was saved. And this is truth, man. This is why I am today. People ask me questions. I saw it. It was layered. It was weird. And I wanted to just grab it and shake it up so bad, but I'm like... It looks like a nice, pretty rainbow. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, that's odd.
Real odd.
Martin goes on to say that a grilled titty cheese sandwich just sounds great in theory. You could have made one. You had the opportunity. It's great to have the True Facts host Eric and Mike back in fine form. Keep up the great work. Your facts friend, Martin Edmondson. Thank you, Martin Edmondson. This one's from Mark Moran.
Mm.
And believe it or not, not a bad email.
Well, it must be good if even you like it.
This was Mark Moran with a real 007. Please stand up is the title.
Oh, he's really, I'm telling you, he's an expert on 007. More than anybody. Even surpasses my Uncle Dave.
Okay. Is your Uncle Dave a noted?
Yeah.
You're saying he knows...
I think.
He knows more than... Out of the people you know who are into James Bond, mm-hmm. he knows the most.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't say that's out of anyone. I mean, I'm sure there are people who... Really fucking into James Bond. Like this... Alright, this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the segment on Never Say Never. It was made without the rights the franchise held, and that is why you never hear the classic James Bond theme or the classic beginning with the target. Around the same time is one word for some reason, around the same time, Roger Moore came out with From a View to Kill. I think it's just View to Kill. He's an expert on James Bond.
I thought it's From a View to a Kill.
From a View to a Kill, okay.
Mm-hmm.
From a View to a Kill. His last time as Bond. It was Roger Moore's last... I thought it was just a View to Kill.
View to Kill is somebody else.
Okay.
They do, dude. They repeat names and switch words.
Well, Die Another Day and Tomorrow Never Dies is the same title.
There's so many. Die Another Day, Tomorrow Never Dies.
And it's Never Say Never Again, and he wrote Never Say Never. So right there. That's what fucked... Around the same time, Roger Moore came out with From a View to a Kill. His last time as Bond. The Never Say Never was a remake of Thunderball, having the same character of Domino and a very similar main-looking villain. They both had sadistic female killers as well, the original having a redhead and the new one having Fatima Blush. The ending is slightly different, but it's still quite inferior to the original. The fact for this is that if you buy any of the Bond sets, you will not get this one, but you would have to buy it separate to incorporate it into your Bond collection.
Yep.
Corrections from Michael, shame on you.
He said that?
He says, shame on you. Ukrainians are significantly different than Russians.
Russians... He has... You know how he goes off on certain things.
Yeah, this sounds like another thing. And,
yeah.
How long do you think
he hates Russia.
How long do you think it takes until religion's brought in?
It doesn't matter. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about Russians and Ukrainians, Mark, are basically the same thing, whether you like it or not.
No, they're not.
Okay.
Because most Russians are Eastern Orthodox, while Ukrainians are more likely to be Eastern Catholic. While there are similarities due to geographic location, Ukrainians resent Russia and believe themselves to be their own people with its own history. Russia has always wanted to control them ever since their very existence, hence the genocide in Ukraine under Stalin. Consider it as likening the Irish to the English, which are pretty much the same thing.
Mm.
So, that's it, Mark Moran, thank you.
If he's considered Irish to English, they are different.
That's what he's saying. It's the same.
All right, I get. You know what Mark is?
What?
Irish and Ukrainian.
Oh, well, maybe that's why he got so pissed about it.
It is.
Okay. This is from someone named Ben's Promo. This must be a new listener.
What's his name?
Ben's Promo? That's not a nickname.
I never heard.
El Servicio del Carrero Messina es soportado tecnológicamente por... You know, I think this is... It's in Spanish. But there's a translate button right here.
Okay.
Messina mail service is technologically supported by Google and offered by the National Apprenticeship Service. Messina for free. You know, this is spam. This one's spam. Sorry, I read that.
How did they get our... this is a very private elite mail.
That is a spam message, so...
They must have some connections to get our stuff. We just don't give it to everybody. That's for fans exclusive.
Factspodcastcorrections@gmail.com is the email. If you hear anything incorrect, send that back to us. Much appreciated. You want to throw in a fact, an interesting fact, contribute to the show, that's great. Michael, send you a sticker.
Martin and Jessica, if you want one, seriously, give me info. I don't care if it's on international.
Send that shit international. He don't give a fuck.
I'll look it up.
No.
If it's under $10, I'll do it.
Okay. That's fair. You don't want to spend a bunch of money on it. It's a sticker, for fuck's sake.
I'm not going to spend like $20, so they could have a sticker. Unless you want, well, no, they can't just write me a check because then it'll be like from their bank from a different country.
I'm sure there's a way to do an international transfer, PayPal, maybe. I don't know. You work that out with them. You work that out with them.
I'm just a mailman. I'm not rich. You know?
You got some corrections to get to. I said the value of melting down pennies came from the value of the raw zinc, not the copper. I was incorrect.
Boy, that's good.
That is good. It's a good donut. The current composition of pennies, they're 97.5% zinc, 2.5% copper.
Wow.
And that has been the case since 1982. From 1944 to 1982, pennies were 95% copper, 5% zinc. And you
Holy
can melt
shit.
You can melt those down for a value raw material value of 2.2 cents.
Wait, what years are those?
Pennies between 1944 and 1982 are 95% copper, and they can be melted down for a value of 2.2 cents.
I'm going to look through all my old pennies.
The current composition is only worth half a cent.
Just imagine that. You got 100 pennies. Instead of a dollar, you're going to get like $2.
Yeah. The 1943 penny was zinc-coated steel because of the war, the copper shortage. From 64 to 1942, pennies were 95% copper, 5% zinc and tin. 1856 to 64, they were 88% copper, 12% nickel. And from 1793 to 1856, they were 100% copper. It currently costs the government 1.83 cents to make a penny, down from a high of 2.41 cents in 2011. The government lost $55 million producing pennies in 2013, down from $58 million in 2012.
Fuck the penny, man.
So, yeah, fuck pennies. We need to stop making pennies.
We do.
Mike said that when he snuck into my apartment when I was recording Facts with Joe McCormick, he broke the lock. The door was unlocked. It's not broken. I don't know why you felt you need to lie there. You walked in because the door was unlocked. You didn't break anything. Don't make you seem like you're a badass who, like, you know, like your Catwoman into the house or something. You walked in because Joe didn't lock the door. Also, and I didn't catch this at
the
time.
Is that technically still breaking the law, though?
Yeah, it's still trespassing, I would guess.
But you didn't have it posted, no trespassing, so.
Yeah, but it's a private residence. You know not to walk into someone else's private residence. That would not hold up. That
defense. There's a lot of illegal things around that, you know? I could say, I've been there before, he never said don't come in.
Well.
And he didn't have a no trespassing thing. So, I don't know. Legally, I don't think I broke any laws.
It's a moot point because what you're doing, you're on the show again now.
But right.
Don't just walk in anytime you please.
After you said, you know.
If I extend an invitation, we're doing the show at this time, just show up.
But I don't walk in. I always knock.
This time you didn't.
The time after I did, and you warned me. You said, hey, you can't just come into my house whenever you feel like it. Please knock. Well, you didn't say please. You said, you know, you have to knock if you're going to come here. And
yeah.
I said, okay, I will. And I have since, after I was warned.
I said on a previous episode that Melbourne was the capital of Australia. The capital of Australia is Canberra. So I missed that one. I don't remember what episode I said it on. And you know what? Jess Polanco missed that one, too. So, and you live in Melbourne. You should know.
Yeah.
A few clarifications. I say a few. I mean nine. Eight, sorry. Mike said zinc is an aphrodisiac.
Polanco really likes you.
You really? What's that?
She really likes
you.
She's
a fan.
What if she came to America? What would you do?
I don't know. We'd hang out or something, I guess.
What do you think Brittany would think?
I don't know. She'd probably be weirded out by it.
Would you still go?
Go what?
Hang out with her?
Yeah, if she came all the way to, you know, she's in America for whatever reason, and I was in the same, you know?
Yeah.
Cook dinner or something.
Would you let Brittany go with you, too?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not trying to do anything. She's a fan.
Okay.
Mike said zinc is an aphrodisiac. While it is true that foods containing zinc, such as oysters, are sometimes considered aphrodisiacs, it is important to note that aphrodisiacs have no scientific basis and work only as a placebo effect. Most aphrodisiacic foods often resemble sex organs, and good nutrition and general health increase sex drive, not specific foods. The Salvador Dali Museum, Mike was talking about, is in St. Petersburg, Florida. You said Tampa, which is close enough.
Right.
But I just wanted to clarify that for everyone. It's pretty much the same place. It was founded by A. Reynolds Morse and Eleanor Morse. Originally, it was in Beechwood, Ohio. They were a couple from Cleveland. They saw a Dali retrospective at the Cleveland Museum of Art. They bought a bunch of Dali paintings, and then all of a sudden realized they had enough Dali stuff they'd bought to open a museum. So they opened it in Beechwood, they ran out of room, and then they moved it to St. Petersburg. There is cheese on a Reuben. A Reuben is corned beef, sauerkraut, Swiss cheese, Thousand Island dressing on rye. That is a Reuben. I don't know why I thought there was no cheese on a Reuben. And I've done Reuben
some
facts.
Some people have them make them without cheese.
I don't know why I thought. I love Reuben. It's my favorite sandwich.
Yeah, but sometimes they really do make them without Swiss.
But you shouldn't. And I've eaten thousands of Reubens over the years. We did a fact on the origin of the name Reuben before, so I don't know why I fucked that up.
I knew it was Swiss, though, you know.
The height of the Maxim XL 200 roller coaster at Cedar Point is 205 feet. You said 200, which, again, close enough. But I just wanted to make that clear. Shane Herman didn't say anything about Chuck Barrett in episode 28. And he talked about spies for a while, so he had an opportunity to. Also, Chuck Barrett was not a spy. Chuck Barrett made that up. I think the issue is, for the picture of episode 28, Dave put up a picture of Chuck Barrett. But Dave likes to put up unrelated photos for episodes.
That's stupid.
It is.
Everything Dave does is...
It's because Dave's an asshole.
He's a real dick.
He's an asshole. Regarding
Do you miss Dave ever?
No.
Neither.
Every time he's like, hey, let's do another show, I'm like, ugh. Regarding beer before liquor, never been sicker. It's the total amount of alcohol you consume regardless of the order. However, liquor has more alcohol in it. So if you switch from beer to liquor, you drink at the same rate. You consume alcohol more quickly than you realize. So that's the origin of that. Hair of the dog. Having another drink in the morning, taking the edge off.
Yeah.
Does help to take the edge off. However, it's not recommended because it's still adding more alcohol to your system. And overall, it takes longer for your body to recover. We talked about the Autobahn. While the German Autobahn has no federally mandated blanket speed limit, speed limits are posted and enforced in urbanized areas, accident-prone areas, construction zones, and during poor weather. The advised speed limit is 130 kilometers per hour, which is 81 miles per hour. Certain classes of vehicles have speed restrictions, such as buses, and speed limits can also be set by individual states. So, we are 32 minutes in. Time for the facts. Let's knock these out of the park. Mike, come on. You're
first. Time for the facts. Fact number one. It's about one of our favorite drinks. You want to guess?
Is it Mystic Bahama Blueberry?
Yeah, one of our staple drinks that usually we drink.
I like coffee. Root beer.
Root
beer. All right.
All right. This is the history of how interesting root beer is.
Okay.
Because it is kind of an interesting beverage.
I love root beer. I always have.
All right. Root beer is made using the root of the sassafras plant.
Okay.
That's how it was originally made.
I always wondered why it was called
root beer. Or the bark of a sassafras tree for the primary flavor. Root beer is popularized in North America. It comes in two forms, believe it or not, alcoholic and soft drink.
Is alcoholic root beer?
Yeah.
No shit.
That's like how it first started. The historical root beer was equal to small beer. In the process, provided a drink with very low alcohol content. Have you ever heard of small beer?
That's when they have hot, like, it's not the same thing as near beer.
It's a beer or ale that contains very little alcohol.
Yeah, it'd be like a non-alcoholic beer.
It's unfiltered and porridge-like, and it was a favorite drink in medieval Europe. In colonial North America, because water was like polluted, you know what I mean? And beer was too expensive, so they made small beer for household consumption. And actually, children and servants would drink it too.
There was not much alcohol in it.
Yeah, because before public sanitation, cholera and other water transmitted diseases were a significant cause of death. So they would drink small beer. But anyways, the ingredients in root beer, there's hundreds of different root beer brands. They all kind of use different stuff, you know?
Remember when I was a kid, we had a root beer taste test.
Really?
Yeah, my dad bought A&W Mug, Barks, and Dad's root beer. And we all did a blind taste test.
Which one?
I believe it was A&W.
That's awesome. Did you have hires included in that?
No. That was the four brands we used. I remember.
Mugs. I remember Mugs.
Yeah, Mugs was good. You don't see Dads anymore either.
What happened to Dads? I see it very rarely, like Arab places or something.
Barks is good because it's got caffeine in it.
Barks is great.
Yeah.
Barks has caffeine in it.
Yeah, Barks has caffeine in it.
The one with Bite. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. A&W rocks.
A&W is the best, yeah.
Hires.
Oh, you know what's good? Frost Top.
Never had it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that like expensive stuff?
No, it's like a buck for a big one. Gas stations will have it, or so I've seen it at Giant Eagle.
Frost Top. Oh, the cheap brand.
Yeah, well, I guess. They make it around here.
Like a Faygo type brand? Faygo root beer is not bad.
Faygo root beer is good too.
Yeah.
Faygo root beer is good too.
But, anyways, okay. The weird thing is, they different places kind of make the flavors taste different. Like the UK, the Philippines, and Thailand. The flavor often varies considerably from the typical North American drink, so there's no standard recipe. The primary ingredients, though, was the artificial sassafras flavoring, and it's complemented with other flavorings such as vanilla, wintergreen, cherry, tree bark, licorice root, sarsaparilla root, nutmeg, anise, molasses, cinnamon, clove, and honey. Although most mainstream brands are caffeine-free, some brands and varieties do contain caffeine, like we just said. Okay, this is what's very interesting. Ooh, I like that, but I'm not going to read that. I don't want it to be too long. Okay, the custom of root beer...
Floats?
Brewing, no. Oh. Root beer goes back to the 18th century, okay? Farm owners used to brew their own light alcohol beverage for family get-togethers and social events. During the 19th century, some pharmacists tried to sell their version of root beer as a miracle drug.
Hmm. That's before we had an FDA.
In 1876, listen to this. This is one of my favorite parts of this fact. Pharmacist Charles Hires...
Of Hires Root Beer.
Hires Root Beer. Okay. First introduced the commercial version at the Philadelphia Centennial Exhibition. Hires was a teetotaler who wanted to call the beverage Root Tea. However, his desire to market the product to Pennsylvania coal miners made him call the product Root Beer instead. By 1893, root beer was sold as a bottled soft drink to the public, especially during Prohibition. Non-alcoholic versions proved to be commercially successful. In 1960, a key ingredient, the sassafras root, they found out it was a carcinogen.
Oh, my.
Therefore, it was banned by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
So there's no more sassafras root?
Nope. Following this ban, companies began experimenting with artificial flavors and techniques to remove the unhealthy effects of root beer while preserving its flavor. So, you know, if you go... They still sell, though, sassafras, which doesn't make sense.
Maybe it's just something about boiling down the root that releases the carcinogens.
Yeah, because you know how... I think we had this discussion where I said sassafras tastes like root beer. And it's kind of tastes like birch beer. They all kind of taste the same, but different. Birch beer is more of like
there's sarsaparilla,
a cherry. Yeah, there's sarsaparilla.
You know what's
that's
fucking
it.
Terrible?
You know, I wasn't thinking of sassafras. I'm thinking of sarsaparilla. Never mind. But you could get that. You could get sarsaparilla. Very few places carry it.
I've seen it, yeah.
Just tastes White House beer. Fruit Farms. Mm. It does. It tastes just like root beer, kind of.
Ginger beer I don't care for. Ginger beer is rough.
Ginger beer is hardcore. That's more of a ginger ale, though.
Yeah.
It's just strong.
Well, is that the...
It's like eating wasabi.
I love wasabi. I'll eat whole spoonfuls of wasabi, dude.
How don't you like ginger beer? It's like ginger ale, but
I wouldn't drink wasabi. I'll eat it. It really clears up my sinuses.
Yeah. I had sushi last night.
There's a new Chinese place. The buffet place.
Where?
In Boardman. On 224.
Where?
It's past all that shit. Down by, like, the Pacatans. You know where the exotic bird store is? You know where Michael's? You know where Michael's is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's by there.
It's in that plaza?
It's in that plaza, yeah. Right around Glenwood.
That's not only an exotic bird store, that's also a,
There's an exotic bird.
That's a pet store, period.
No, no. There's one specifically has exotic birds.
Are you talking about where the bicycle shop is, too, in that plaza?
It's a giant... there's an Ollie's. You know where the Ollie's is?
Yes, I went there yesterday.
It's down from Ollie's a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Royal Grill it's called. Shoot, they got wasabi by the fucking... Just cups of wasabi. You can just take back to your plate and shove it into your fat mouth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They got a little sushi bar in the back.
Really?
They have like a grill, like a hibachi grill. You could pick up a bunch of raw shit and they'll grill
it
for you.
They used to have that at King's Buffet. I love doing that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good buffet, man. You should check that out.
Have them cook it fresh for you.
Yeah, yeah, right in front of you.
Yeah, we should go there sometime. Take the ladies.
Yeah, it's a ball and ass buffet,
comedy
man.
Show.
We were
dinner and a show. Buffet and a show.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We can do that. Is that your fact? Are you done?
Yeah. I just want to eat a plate full of meat with sushi. And noodles. I like lo mein a lot.
All right. This is my first fact. The Constitution, Mike, sets a minimum age for representatives in the House of Representatives at 25. And for senators, the minimum age is 30. But both houses have elected and seated members younger than the minimum age.
Wow. How can they do that?
I just ignore it, I guess.
Ignored Obama and let him be a president. You're supposed to be born in this country.
Okay, he is, though. He was born in Hawaii, so.
In Kenya.
Hawaii. He's not from Kenya. So I've seen his birth certificate. He's not from Kenya.
Oh, you've seen the actual copy or the doctored copy that the government furnished?
You done?
Can I just say one thing?
You remind me of all these
conspiracy theorist type guys that
How so?
Want to ignore the facts. You only believe what you want to believe.
William C.C. Claiborne, the youngest person ever serve in Congress. He ran for the Tennessee House seat that was vacated by Andrew Jackson when Andrew Jackson was elected senator of Tennessee. He resigned, actually, from the Tennessee Supreme Court to run for Congress, and he may have been as young as 21 when he was chosen to be a member of the Tennessee Supreme Court. Took office on November 23rd, 1797. The date of birth for William C.C. Claiborne is unknown. People didn't keep good records back then, but he may have been as young as 22. His tombstone states that he was born in 1775 and served in the House of Representatives at the age of 23. The official House of Representatives websites list him as being 22. There are Tennessee state records list him as being 24 at the time. If he was 22 when he took office, then he won a second term also underage at the age of 24. I guess either they weren't sure about his age or they didn't really look into it enough or they just didn't care. But he... may have been as young as 22. He was certainly younger than 25.
Must have been a real charismatic fellow.
Mm-hmm. He later served as governor of the Mississippi Territory and governor of the Territory of Orleans, which later became the state of Louisiana, where he also served as the first governor of the state of Louisiana. The youngest person to ever serve in the Senate is John Henry Eaton. He took office as senator from Tennessee. Something about Tennessee, I guess. November 16th, 1818, at the age of 28. Prior to him, there were two other senators also under the age of 30. Armistead Thomas Mason was 28, of Virginia, and Henry Clay was 29, of Kentucky. They started actually caring about this in 1934. Rush Holt was elected from the Senate in West Virginia at age 29, but waited until his 30th birthday to be sworn in. And incidentally, Joe Biden, current vice president, was elected at the age of 29 to the Senate, but turned 30 before beginning his term of office. So between the election and being sworn in, he had his 30th birthday. But he
shows
ran
you how
for,
old he is.
And
too.
Yeah,
they said this didn't go effect till the 30s. So this guy's like 100 years old.
No, Joe Biden. This was in the 70s when he started in the Senate. Joe Biden is not 100 years old. But that's just kind of when they started actually enforcing.
He could be. You ever look at the guy?
He doesn't look good, but I mean, he's, you know.
I used to be a Democrat.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
Because of Joe Biden? Because that Muslim Kenyan president you were talking about?
I'm just American. That's all I'm going to say. And whoever does this country good, I back you up.
All right.
No matter what you are. If you do this country wrong, stay out of my face.
I don't think anyone's getting in your face. You got another fact, Mike. What do you got for me? What do you got for us?
We're going to talk about something that people, it's a little bit of a taboo subject. Everybody wants to hear about it, though. We're going to talk about sex.
Okay.
Let's talk about sex in video games, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fun.
It's been a controversial topic since the early days of the industry. You know?
Say something.
Okay. One of the earliest video games to feature sexual themes was the 1981 text-based soft porn adventure.
No, the name of it was Soft Porn Adventure?
Yeah. It was published by Online Systems for the Apple II.
Okay.
Despite heavy piracy, the game still sold 25,000 copies, and that was equivalent to 25% of the systems sold.
Huh.
So it's like 25% of people that, own the system.
And no one had personal computers back in 1981.
They're playing Soft Porn Adventure.
No one had personal computers back then.
No. No. In 1981, an article in Time Magazine Online reported they were making a version of the game for straight women, though it never materialized.
Oh.
So, that's kind of probably like 50 Shades of Grey or something.
I guess, yeah. That's just erotic. That sounds like fun.
In 1982, Japan's Koei, K-O-E-I, I don't know how to pronounce that, founded by husband and wife team Yoichi and Kyoko Erikawa. And they're later known for strategy games, but they start out with their first erotic computer game with sexually explicit graphics called Nightlife. It was for the NEC PC 8801. In the same year, they released another erotic title, Danshitsuma no Yuwaka. And that means Seduction of the Condominium Wife, which was an early role-playing adventure game with color graphics, owing to an 8-color palette of the NEC PC 8001 computer. It became a hit, helping Koei. How do you pronounce that? Koei?
I don't know.
Koei. Became a major software company.
Koei?
Yeah, sure. Koei.
All right.
Also, in 1982, the video game company Mystique released three unlicensed games for the Atari 2600. Remember that?
Yeah.
I had a 2600. This is a game I was telling you about, and I played it.
Is it Custer's Revenge?
Yes.
Okay.
Beat 'em and Eat 'em was a game.
Oh, Beat 'em and Eat 'em.
Custer's Revenge and Bachelor Party. Party sounds great.
You actually played Custer's Revenge on an Atari?
Yeah. My dad's friend had it.
Yeah.
And they had limited... Actually, no! Not on Atari.
You played it on an emulator.
On a PC.
Later. Yeah. I'm sure you didn't play it on Atari.
Yeah, because it was on a PC. I don't want to say who because I just don't.
Smart
Moran. Games were noted for their negative perception, particularly Custer's Revenge for its depiction of what was perceived as General Custer raping a Native American woman. Like, at the end, you get to rape Sacagawea, I think.
Okay.
She's tied to a...
like a totem pole.
Tied to a totem pole.
Yeah.
Your guy runs over, and for some reason, he already has his pants down, and he has, like, the little stick, it's supposed to be his dick, and he just starts, you just see his butt thrusting in and out of her, and, like, you see tears or something. I remember she was, like, weeping or whatever while he's doing it. But anyways, despite the increased sales, Mystique went out of business after only releasing these three games, and a company named PlayAround began distributing these games, packaged in a 2-in-1 double-ender cartridges. These games also included reworked versions with female protagonists, which they all had... Just a revamp. Remember when Mike Tyson's Punch-Out was redone? It was just called, like, Punch-Out?
Super Punch-Out, yeah.
Yeah, they took out, like, the guys, but they gave them, like, different names.
Yeah.
That's what they did here. Philly Flasher was supposed to be Beat 'em and Eat 'em. Bachelorette Party was, like, a remake of Bachelor Party, and General Retreat instead of Custer's Revenge.
But that was women raping men, then?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. They re-released Custer's Revenge and entitled it Westward Ho. And featured slight modifications such as a Native American woman beckoning to indicate that she welcomed Custer's,
Yeah. Well, now it's not rape.
They released four new titles. Burning Desire, Jungle Fever, Cat House Blues, and Gigolo.
If it's consensual sex, it's not really a game anymore.
Right. It's not. It's just, you're just paying to watch digital graphics have sex.
Yeah.
When really, you could just go pay and get a porn.
Yeah.
You know, which I'd rather do. But 1983 saw the release of another Atari 2600 game, X-Man. And that figure...
Is that related to the comic book?
Yeah, I think. It featured a player as a nude man walking through a maze towards a pink door in the center past crabs with teeth and scissors. Players that reach a pink door were rewarded with a controllable sex scene. So that was like in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Although in the late 80s, they had a game called Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh, and I played Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah, and they had a bunch of them. Soft Porn Adventure.
Yeah, a lot. Those are fun.
Sierra, blah, 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 blah.
I remember my dad had Leisure Suit Larry on his PC, the first like computer we had. Yeah, and
there were so many
Leisure Suit Larry. You had to take a little test before you played the game to make sure you were old enough.
Oh, I bet you beat that.
They would ask you trivia questions that someone born in like the late 70s would know or something.
What happens if you were like...
If you're just dumb.
That's what I'm saying, like culturally stupid.
But no, yeah, it wasn't hard to get into the game. You just have to answer like three trivia questions.
Did you get in and play?
Yeah. It's fun. It's a fun game.
It was, man. They made a bunch of these Leisure Suit Larrys. Leisure Suit Larry and the Land of the Lounge Lizards. Leisure Suit Larry goes looking for love. And then in parentheses, in several wrong places.
Oh, Leisure Suit Larry.
Leisure Suit Larry 3, Passionate Patty in Pursuit of the Pulsating Pectorals. So, that was...
That's it?
Well, it talks a little bit about the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, you got a long way to go. I mean,
I just really kind of want to talk about the early history.
Okay, yeah. Because we're at Leisure Suit Larry, and I know I can play GTA 5, and I can fuck a hooker in my car.
It talks about that in these, but that's the thing. Like, I played a game called Mass Effect. It was an RPG science fiction
film. Yeah, there's like a hot chick in that, right?
Yeah. My character, believe it or not... That's why I originally liked my girlfriend, Terry.
Yeah?
Because she had short red hair.
Okay.
And we ought to come find out that wasn't even our real hair color, but anyways, the character I designed and made looked like Terry when I first met her.
Mm.
You know, so really...
Well, that's creepy.
Yeah, and that's the truth, and it was Mass Effect, and my character was a woman.
Yeah.
And your character has sex with a girl... In Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So if you it's make a boy, character. If you make a guy, you get to do a girl. But if you make a female, then you have lesbian sex. And you could pick one or two girls to have sex with. It's either like, it depends who you buddy up with more in the series. Either a human or this girl, and they're called Ansaris with the blue skin and like three tentacles wrapped around their head.
Yeah, you want to fuck up something weird.
And I did it both.
Yeah.
I played the game both ways.
Yeah.
So I had them both. Not bragging, but yeah.
Well, that's good. That's something you did.
Yeah. Speaking of...
It's nice that you met an actual woman who looked like the creepy avatar that you wanted to have lesbian sex with.
Yep.
I mean, that's called living the dream, frankly.
It was. And since we were just talking about Terry, you mind if I make a quick phone call to her?
Call Terry, is that what we're doing?
Yeah, just I just want to talk to her.
This might not work.
Because she wanted to talk about the show.
All right. The audio for this, we kind of tested it out. I'm not sure if it's going to... Is it ringing? Because I can't hear any ringing. Oh, very faintly. Hold on.
Yeah, I hear it.
I can turn that up. Barely hear that. Oh, there we go.
Hello.
Hello. Terry? Who is this?
Who is this?
It's Mike, Terry. Hello? Who is this?
Mike?
Yeah?
Momoko.
What?
Mike. Mike, what are you doing?
We have technical problems. We gotta go.
Mike, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Mike.
Are you gonna be able to... She can't hear, so... Damn it. Terry can't hear me.
All right, Mike, we're gonna pretend that didn't happen, and we'll move on.
Phone call didn't work.
Yeah.
We can't get this phone to work. No. Damn it. Maybe next time.
Yeah.
Sorry for messing with the phone, Eric.
It's fine.
I'm going to unplug this in case someone tries calling.
Well, that's great. Okay.
I'm going to shut this down in case somebody tries calling me back.
Yeah.
I was going to call Terry. I can't hear. I can't do nothing.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Nothing worked. I want to talk to her about when I first met her, how I said, remember how you look like the video game character, or else I was never going to even hit on a girl or talk to a girl. I was in a bad relationship. Whatever. I was playing a lot of video games, and the weird thing was, she looked like the character I made. And I just wanted...
Okay, the question I think is, why did she answer with a British accent? And then say, I thought you were going to call me as Momoko. That's what's weird about it.
That didn't... I don't know what happened.
Okay. That's what I thought was odd. About that thing.
We don't need to talk about that.
I mean, the technical difficulties aside, that was weird. Don't you agree? Could you explain that to me, Mike? We're almost out of time. I have a lengthy fact about daylight savings time, so let's just run through this, and we'll wrap this up. Mike seems upset now. You all right, Mike? It's gonna be okay, buddy.
I just don't know what happened with that phone.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's weird. It's just weird.
Daylight savings time was a few weeks ago when we adjusted back. Probably would have been more topical to do it then, but I'm going to talk about it now. Ancient civilizations, actually, adjusted the lengths of the daylight hours throughout the year.
How did they know better?
For example, Roman water clocks had different settings in the summer and the winter. So in a daylight hour in Rome would be longer in summer than it was in the winter. Daylight savings time is often credited to Benjamin Franklin. He published a letter in 1784.
That is so smart.
Advising Parisians to wake up earlier, to use morning sunlight, and conserve candles in the evening. However, that was a satirical letter. It also recommended taxing shutters, rationing candles, and firing cannons and ringing church bells to wake the public at sunrise. It was not an endorsement of daylight savings time. In fact, standardized hour keeping wouldn't be developed until the implementation of railroads. That's when we first really needed standardized timekeeping. Modern daylight savings time, as we know, was first proposed in 1895 by George Vernon Hudson, a New Zealand entomologist. He used the evening hours to capture insects for study. English builder William Willett is sometimes credited. He came about the same idea independently later in 1905. A daylight savings time bill was introduced to the House of Commons in 1908, and it failed. The first people to use daylight savings times were Germany and their World War I allies in 1916 to conserve coal during wartime. Britain and its allies followed the same year. Russia later adapted in 1917, the USA in 1918. Many countries abolished daylight savings time after World War I, but brought it back during World War II. Great Britain, Canada, France, and Ireland kept it throughout the interwar period. In the U.S., after World War II, daylight savings time remained in many states. In the Northeast, was not as popular in the South or the West. Only California and Nevada had statewide daylight savings time west of the Mississippi. In fact, there was no federal legislation regarding daylight savings time. It varied from state to state and city to city. It was the railroads, again, transportation industry, which lobbied for the Uniform Time Act of 1966, which established... The daylight savings time daylight savings time to begin the last Sunday in April until the last Sunday in October. States were allowed to exempt themselves, but only if it applied statewide. Michigan was exempted until 1972. Arizona and Hawaii still do not observe daylight savings time. Neither do the territories of Guam, Puerto Rico, the American Samoa, Northern Mariana Islands, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. During the 1973 OPEC oil embargo, year-long daylight savings time was enacted from January 6, 1974 to April 27th of 1975. though they later amended it to go back to standard time from September 27th to February 23rd. The law was changed. It was amended to begin on the first Sunday in April instead of the last in 1986. And it was amended again in 2007 to begin in the second Sunday in March and end in the first Sunday in November, which is where it's at now. Daylight savings time is mainly observed in North America and Europe, in Chile, in South America, as southern Brazil. They both observe it. Namibia is the only African country that observes daylight savings time. New Zealand observes daylight savings time, and southeastern Australia. Argentina, Iceland, Russia, Uzbekistan, and Belarus went to permanent daylight savings time. They switched over, never switched them back. And the United Kingdom tried that also from 68 to 71. If you ask me, I think permanent daylight savings time is a good idea. Then we don't have to fix your fucking clocks all the time. You know, that's an issue. I think the problem people have is that then the sunrise is really late in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want kids walking to school in the cold.
Oh,
or whatever.
It's weird. It's like you're working in the dark, and
yeah,
you know, it's
that's kind of the main argument against changing it all the time. There are energy savings, but they're you know.
I've heard it also is energy savings time. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. That's our show.
I meant to call. I think that was Momoko that I called.
Is
by
that
accident.
Okay? Because that's weird. Because. It sounded like Moko at first, who we've established doesn't exist.
Did it?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, who is this? And then she tried being an imposter. Right. I think she tried pretending to be Terry.
Okay. She goes,
this is Terry. But it was clearly Momoko. I think I dialed the wrong number.
I think what happened, and we've established before that there is no Momoko. She never existed. It was your girlfriend, Terry, pretending to be Momoko. So what you're claiming now, Michael, is that it was your girlfriend, Terry, pretending to be Momoko, pretending to be Terry, correct?
No, what I think it was, I dialed the wrong number.
Okay.
And then Momoko knew it was me.
Momoko doesn't exist.
Okay, well, clearly it was a British girl, right, that got the phone. We can both agree on that.
No, it was your girlfriend doing a voice.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, Terry? And then she's like, what? And then I'm like, Terry, is that you? And then she's like, she probably thought about it, and she goes, yeah, it's me. Momoko would try it in person. She's a mannequin. Do you see that? Where's that door lead to?
That door goes to the laundry room.
Oh, okay.
Which reminds me, I gotta put some clothes in the dryer. Thank you for reminding me.
I do, too. I gotta wash my work clothes, dude. I do. Oh, my gosh. He gets so dirty sometimes.
All right. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be in Lakewood at Barrio. That's a Bill Squier show. It's a showcase. Bill Squier's actually taping his... he's been doing a... putting out a new 10-minute sets every month. He's going to do it for the whole year.
You're going to be on that video?
No, he's just him on that video, but he's taping it that night.
Ooh.
And I'm on the show earlier that day.
Cool.
This weekend, the 27th, 28th...
tonight?
It's tomorrow night.
Oh.
It's Monday, the 24th. Tomorrow... This weekend... Thursday the 27th, Friday the 28th, Saturday the 29th. I'll be in Toledo at the new club there, Laughs Inc.
Wow.
Shows at 8 on Thursday. There are two shows, 8 and 10:30, Friday and Saturday. I'm hosting. The man named Doug Stout is the headliner. That's a new club. This is their third week. They just had Bobcat Goldthwait there this week, which apparently was great because he's great.
Now you?
Yeah, I didn't get to host for Bobcat, unfortunately. But that's going to be a good show.
Maybe the Stout guy is better.
No. I'm sure he's not better than Bobcat. No offense to him. I've never seen his stuff, but he's not, you know. Come on.
I don't know. You never know.
Well,
up and comer. It could be a...
Yeah, he could be really good. I don't know him.
Why couldn't he be, you know... what do you think?
I don't know. I haven't seen him.
About yourself?
About what do you mean about
maybe
myself?
Maybe some people say you're better than Bobcat.
No one is saying I'm better than Bobcat Goldthwait. And if they're saying that, they're wrong.
Tim Wolf.
Tim Wolf said that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's wrong.
Why?
Because I'm not.
That's his opinion, though.
That's fine.
Well, you can't tell somebody their opinion's wrong.
Okay. I guess that's right.
Thank you.
April 3rd, they're doing a contest at the Funny Farm. Like a 7-week contest thing. So I'm going to be in that. Try to win $250 on a paid gig.
Ooh!
Which I've worked there before, so it's...
Oh, I thought you said you're getting paid $250.
No, that's if I win the contest. Basically, I'm entering a contest, so I don't know. Go out for that.
Well, you got it in the bag. Congratulations.
Congratulations
to my best friend, Eric Kerbley, for winning the Shakers Comedy Contest.
This is a different contest.
I gotta admit, we fought out till the end, and I got the runner-up, and I'm happy with that.
None of this has happened yet. This is the contest at the Funny Farm, April 3rd. I'll be at Redstone in Cleveland.
That's what
you're
talking
8th
about, right? The Funny Farm contest for $250.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you win.
I didn't win. It hasn't started yet.
Who's going to win? Who else is
in it? I don't know who else is in it. I have no idea.
I take runner up, and then Joe McCormick got third place.
Okay, then that's it. Congratulations,
Joe. You almost beat me, but you didn't. All right. So maybe next time you could be like Wheels and bring more friends. Thanks. Bring friends. You're going to need a McCormick.
I understand. Okay. The contest at Shakers that we do every summer is going to be back. That's going to start in June. So, listen to that shit. My DVD is being edited. So that'll be out soonish.
Mm.
And then, I don't know, a month or two. So look for that. I taped that at the Stone Tavern last month. That was a really good show. Can't wait to have that out there. And that's what I got going on for me. What about you, Mike?
Laugh Trek show, we're gonna be doing, starting, I think, June 3rd, out on the patio at Shakers. We'll be having the contest.
Yeah.
And, a lot of those are gonna be hosted by my man, Eric Kribley. And, the comedy's gonna start at 8 for the contest and stuff like that. But, Laugh Trek show, we're gonna be taping there live.
That's
starting
fun.
At 7 before each show.
I think that'll be good.
If you want to be on, if you want to be a contestant, get a hold of me or Rick. Get a hold of Rick, really. He's really the man, but also, me or Eric can help out too and get a hold of us. You can email at Mike and Rick at laughtrackshow.com, Rick at laughtrackshow.com, or the factspodcastcorrections.com. It's all hooked up. We're all linked up. So do what you want to do.
Yes, that's the show. Take it away, Mike.
Wow. I really didn't have anything prepared.
Okay,
this came so fast.
That's...
What did we talk about today? Oh!
Root beer? We talked about root beer.
I know.
I talked about daylight savings time.
Time.
Okay, good. There we go. Our theme.
Time is very important. Organization is very important. When you think about it, organization is key, and time is key because time is money. Doing things in life, you got to prioritize what's more important, this or that. Think about things. If you need stuff done, do not procrastinate. Procrastination only leads to troubles down the road. So, get yourself together this week, people. Prioritize and organize. And most of all, use your brain.